more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. For many of us, summer cuisine means steaks or chicken breasts or kebabs or just plain old brats outside over an open flame. And for sure, this is the ideal time of the year to do some grilling, but Milwaukee chef, educator, and Lake Effect contributor Michael Fecker thinks of something else when it comes to summer grilling, which he shares with our Stephanie Lecce.
When it comes to summer, for me, suddenly the actors change and the main actor become vegetables and the supporting cast are maybe protein and here and there. So I love grilling altogether.
That's interesting that you say the vegetables would become kind of the main stars of the show. What are you doing with the vegetables? You know, what can we do to dress them up a little bit and really make them stand out against, you know, perhaps the brats and the burgers?
Right. I think the brats and the burgers can be there, but in minimal ways, as far as I'm concerned. To me, I would love to talk to you about the tricks involved when it comes to grilling vegetables, because we have various kind of vegetables. We have vegetables that are very high water content, such as bell peppers. And we love grilling bell peppers because they maintain their shape and they're easier due to their waxy skin and they slide a little bit better on the grill. Asparagus is something else that we love to grill, for example. But the best way to approach that is you always blanch asparagus prior to grilling it. At least
right.
I do.
Now, what is blanching for those of us who are less culinarily inclined?
Exactly. That's a great question. Why? Because I'm here to answer those. So this is the difference between blanching and boiling. When you blanch something, you partially cook it in boiling water. Make sure that the water is salted. And you shock it and you stop the cooking process in ice water. When we boil something, we start the ingredients in boiling water and we follow through the cooking process until consumption. That means we cook it all the way through. Why do we blanch? By blanching an ingredient, you open the pores of that ingredient, and due to the pores being open, it absorbs the hot water. And once you shock it, it closes its pores and it maintains the extra liquid within it. When you heat it again on the grill, the pores opens up, creates internal steam, and cooks all the way through and gives you those grill marks. So potatoes, for example, my kids love potatoes. They love corn. And what I do is I was in the market the other day, and it was beautiful. You had all these different colored potatoes and fingerlings, you know, purple, you know, ivory. You had reddish. It was beautiful. So I get those. I blanch them first. And when my friends are over, I toss those with a little bit of olive oil and chopped rosemary and just grill them on the cold side. Whoever is listening, make sure that you make your grill in a two-zone grill. That means you have one side that is extremely hot, and then you have another side that is medium to low.
Now, why is that important to have those two zones?
We start the cooking process on the hot side to get the grill marks and to sear the ingredients, which means closing the exterior pores that is exposed to the grill. And then we take it and finish the cooking process on the colder side so there is rotating heat instead of direct heat. We always make that mistake, myself included, that we start on that hot side and we finish on this hot side. What happens? A hot surface absorbs and pulls out moisture, so your meat tends out to be over-grilled and very dry, or your vegetables release all the water content and they dry out on you and become stringy. For those of you that have made that mistake, you have seen asparagus, for example, becomes this stringy thing that you have no idea, why can't I cut this? You know, that's one of the main reasons. At the same time, when you do double zoning of grilling, you can do many other things on that grill, like smoking your salt. What does that mean? You know, we take some kosher salt, we place it on an aluminum foil, we spray it with a little bit of water, and once we're done with the grilling, we just close the grill and we place the salt on the cold side, we close the grill and we walk away. The hot side keeps creating smoke, and it smokes your salt.
Okay, and so then what is the benefit of smoking our salt? It just adds some more flavor?
Amazing flavor that once you're done with your grilled piece of meat or just a piece of chicken in the kitchen, you just ground a little bit of salt over it, and everybody goes, where did that smoke flavor come from?
Oh.
Or you can start selling it to your best friends.
Yeah. Now, how long do we leave, say, a vegetable compared with a meat on the hot part and then transfer it to the less hot zone?
Great question as well. Let me tell you something about the way we grill and the mistakes that we make when it comes to grilling. We have the tendency of taking a piece of meat or vegetable, placing it on the grill, and constantly messing with it and pulling it up and down, pushing it around. Just leave it as it is, and you do something that we call 45-degree grilling. That means you never take one ingredient and you flip sides of that ingredient after a minute or two on the grill. The reason for that is because once you start taking that radiant heat that is coming off of your grill and exposing it to that side of the vegetable or the meat, that side is already starting the searing process. So all you do after a minute on vegetables and after 2 minutes on meat, you turn that meat or in vegetable 45 degrees on that same side. It is not, if you see many of these diamond-shaped grill marks that come to your table, that is not only to be dramatic. That has a reason behind it. So when you turn it 45 degrees, that same side is constantly being exposed to that heat, so it sears beautifully for you. Then you do the same thing, and now you flip it over to the other side, and another 45. Again, 1 minute on vegetables, 2 minutes on meats per side.
Okay.
And then you move it to the cold side, and you let it sit until you're comfortable with it. Remember one more thing about vegetables. When you put it and move it to the cold side, and you allow the rotation of the heat to cook it through, you want to keep it on a solid surface container, because vegetables have juice, and the juice runs. And as it runs inside the grill, you're not going to be benefiting from it. You want to maintain that juice within that ingredient and keeps it warm as well.
We've talked a lot about the vegetables, and we've mentioned a little bit about the meats. In addition to the salt, are there some interesting things and simple things we can be doing to our meat to kind of dress it up?
Absolutely. I got to tell you what I do, and this is not just because I'm a chef or I love food, which I know every one of you that are listening love food. We all speak food. I do something different with my meat. I always start my meat in the oven inside the kitchen prior to the grilling day.
Interesting. Now, why do you do that?
That you're starting the rotating heat around the oven, within the oven, and you're searing the meat and you partially cooking the meat. So when it goes on the grill, all you're doing, you're getting the grill flavor and the grill marks, and you're finishing the cooking process. That way you're not standing on the grill and slaving while your friends are having fun, which I promise you, if you're slaving and you are stressed out with the food that you're trying to produce, your friends are going to taste that stress. So when you have fun and doing this, it's going to be much easier for you. Another thing that I do with my steaks or with my meat, I usually use, when it comes to grilling, a large piece of roast or a loin of beef that is a larger piece. I roast the whole piece to a rare or a medium rare with nice brown searing on the outside. Then the day later, I slice it, get it ready for the grill, and I go and finish it on the grill. Why do I do that? Again, as you said, if you take one tiny little steak and try to sear it, you have the tendency of overcooking it in the oven. But when you do a large piece, you cook it all the way through, it gets nice and crusted, and then you slice. Then all your friends are going to go, how did he crust the edge of that steak on the grill? That's how you suddenly mesmerize people and they can't figure out what's going on. And that's how conversations are created. That's how you go one step further when it comes to cooking, and you just don't look at food as being a ritual. You look at it as an experience. Once you have very, very well-cooked steaks with seasoning and everything, all you need is a brush of olive oil the next day on the grill, and you're only using the olive oil as a lubricant so the ingredient doesn't stick to the surface. By the way, everybody, one more thing about grilling. Always, always, you always have a spray bottle with water next to you when you're grilling, because those flames that arise from the minute the meat or the oil hits that grill, you put them off right away. Otherwise, you're going to get that burned flavor and that fuel flavor on your steak, which you don't want.
Summer is also somewhat synonymous with farmers markets, and I want to have you talk about how you go about picking your fresh ingredients. What are you looking for that, you know, maybe a less experienced culinary eye would notice as you're going through a market?
I think, to be honest with you, there are many, many eyes these days that pick out exactly what I do, and that is freshness, firmness, and lack of denting in your ingredients. But the beauty of what farmers market do for me, right now I have opened, as you know, I opened a new restaurant, Il Mito, on the east side. So I'm very much involved in the east town farmers market. I'll be starting something that's called Shopping with Chef Fekir. So you're going to walk through the farmers market with me. We're going to pick out things and I'm going to answer your questions just about those things. So our East Town Association and I are hopefully teaming up to create something like that for you guys out there. But going back to your question, when you pick out ingredients, don't pick size. Pick firmness, crispiness, and freshness, because you do not want a baby carrot that is not a baby carrot anymore. You know, you want a baby carrot that is really baby carrot, and also it is deep in color. And also, the best way for you, just for example, to test a carrot is not looking at the carrot itself, looking at the green stems of the carrot and how fresh they look. Beets, another. If the stems look wilted, the beet is old. Asparagus, you want to make sure that you take the asparagus, forget about the tips. Take it and turn it around and look at the stem at the end, and has that turned woody on you or have not? Those are the things that I look for. Apricots right now. I am just addicted to apricots. I mean, I'm going crazy. I'm seriously. Peaches and apricots is just great. Watermelon is another thing. Oh, by the way, we talked about grilling and we didn't talk about watermelon. How dare I? And the pineapple. An amazing, amazing dessert that I want you to try at home is taking some watermelon, taking the skin off, slicing it in thick enough sizes that is one per person, brushing it. Listen, don't freak out now. Listen, brush it with a little bit of olive oil and sprinkle some sea salt and black pepper on it and grill it. Now, remember, watermelon is going to release its flavor, water content very fast. So you want that hot side. 30 seconds per side. Grill it, get the grill mark, put it aside in a nice platter. It's going to release its water and it's going to become like a sauce. Drizzle a little bit of reduced balsamic vinegar on it and you will love me forever.
Well, Chef Michael Fekir, thank you so much for coming in and sharing these ideas with us.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Chef Michael Fekir is the purveyor of Il Mito Restaurant in Wauwatosa, Il Mito East in Milwaukee, and the host of a weekly TV show, Fekir's Kitchen, and he's also an occasional Lake Effect contributor. You can find links to more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. One last break, then we're joined by Luke Doucette and Melissa McClellan, the Canadian husband and wife that make up the band White Horse. A chat and in-studio concert are next on Lake Effect.